Hey there, this is the Hello Personality Podcast, the place where you'll learn how to use your personality type to create a radically authentic life that ignites your potential and creates positive ripple effects for all of those around you. I'm Leslie McDaniel, and this is Season 3, Episode 5. And in this season, we're working our way through a 5-part framework that I've created to help you live a radically authentic and impactful life. And we're also using the 16 type system as a lens to help you understand your strengths and your struggles when it comes to each aspect of this framework. In this episode, we've arrived at part 4 of the framework, which is community. Now, the way I define community in relationship to creating this radically authentic and impactful life is an intentional and supportive group of people who are also on a growth journey and who have a similar vision or they are working toward a similar purpose. Now, if you missed the first few episodes of this season, I would really encourage you to go back and listen to those since this part of the framework is only one piece of the whole. So if you've been following along, you've noticed probably that each piece of the framework starts with the letter C. And so this is the 4th aspect and also the 4th C of the framework, and it is community. And today we're going to hear from some people about the concept of community and the importance it has in their life. And then a little bit later in the episode, we're going to hear how your personality type might experience community, some of the strengths that you'll bring as a leader and some of the strengths that you might bring as a member, as well as the struggles you might have in either of those roles. I would say that this aspect of the framework might be harder than some others, at least for some people, and partially because it involves other people. So consciousness and clarity and confidence, while those can definitely be facilitated by others through feedback or in our relationships or our experiences that we have with other people. And just like these other C's, community doesn't happen overnight. It does take longer to build and it might take longer to identify, like, who are your people. And being part of a community requires openness and vulnerability. It requires understanding not only of yourself, but also of other people and how all of you are showing up individually and as a group. And it also requires having an ability to observe how you're showing up in the community and having a willingness to learn about yourself from the mirror that the group provides. Now, I'm talking about all of these from the aspect of a community that fits that definition that I talked about, a community that's on a growth journey together. It's not just a group of friends. It's not just your family or, you know, maybe a hobby group or something like that. This is an intentional group of people who are working toward a more conscious, a more authentic, a more impactful life. Before we move further, I want to acknowledge how difficult finding the community can be. Now, it can just show up at the right time in the right place, but there's also a real aspect of loneliness that exists. And sometimes when we're really steeped in our loneliness, it can be really difficult to feel like that community is out there. And it can be so, so difficult for so many people. I was reading an article from OSF. It's a Catholic healthcare organization. And the article says that research has found that social isolation significantly increases a person's risk of premature death from all causes. And they say that risk may rival the risks of smoking, obesity, and physical inactivity. So it has real physical impacts. Isolation does, social isolation. And they go on to say, according to a study by Cigna Healthcare, which is an insurance company here in the United States, that young adults are twice as likely to be lonely than seniors. And 79% of adults aged 18 to 24 reported feeling lonely compared to 41% of seniors that are age 66 and older. And the article points out that this is consistent with earlier research that has been done. Now, I don't think being young or being old matters. I think both of those numbers are way, way, way too high. But I'm sharing this with you to underscore the importance of community, no matter how big or small that is for you. And especially, it's especially important if you're choosing to live a life of growth and unraveling some of your automatic patterns so that you can get to your truest, most authentic self underneath those things. And those things that are often so driven by our personality or ego structure. Sometimes doing this growth work can feel very lonely. It can feel like no one else is doing it. So I think it's really important to seek out and find the community that works for you, which is why it's part of this framework. And I wanted to share a short clip of a client of mine who is talking about how even though she's pretty radically independent and she did a lot of work on her own, a lot of personal growth work over a few years, she found great value in inviting me as her coach and others into her journey. So this is Tamisha, and she identifies as an INTJ and an Enneagram 1. And I've had the privilege of working with her as a one-on-one client on more than one occasion. And I've also had the privilege of working with her as part of a group that I used to lead related to personality types. So here's Tamisha.
So I've been on a journey of self-development for 5 years by myself. And it wasn't until I worked with Leslie where I invited someone into my journey for the first time. And there were all these blind spots I could not see on my own. Like, I know for a fact, it would probably take me another 10 years to see those things. And I realized the value of support. And I was like, okay, well, that's just one person. Imagine another person and another person. That was my motivation to leave this an independent journey and enter a more interdependent stage of my life.
Thank you so much, Tamisha, for permission to share your words. So also, right before recording this episode, I was meeting with one of my own growth groups, and I asked them to share with me about their experiences with community, what it means to them, and how important it is to be part of a community like this. And I received their permission to share their thoughts on this episode. Now, we only had 3 of us in attendance on this day, but we typically have about 6 members of this group. And this group is based on doing Enneagram work together, but everything they say in this clip that I'm going to play here in just a minute holds true, no matter which personality type system or spiritual system or other framework that you use to grow. You're going to hear from Tamra, and I haven't verified Tamra's 16 types personality, but she does identify as a sexual 3 on the Enneagram. And you'll also hear from Tisha, who is an ESFP and a sexual 6 on the Enneagram. And we have been part of this group together that was started by Tisha for about 3 years at this point. So we've been through several major life changes in that time. So let's hear what they have to say.
Being a part of like this community or even in my, like with the coaching school, but this, our group specifically has been super helpful because it's allowed me to be much more open and honest and authentic and admit things that I don't like about myself. But I'm trying, because my goal is to learn to accept those things just as much as I like the stuff I do like about myself. I can really integrate those. But it started out with just trying to figure out all of this Enneagram stuff and being a part of a group with different types and different people on the same path has helped almost mirror and model it for me to see how to do that discovery. Because if I was trying to do this without community, it would be so much harder. Watching and listening to hear how each of us have like shared our vulnerabilities, shared our struggles. I mean, even when I talked about my wedding process, like, I feel like I'm failing. I'm just going to step right back into my personality. And everybody was like, that's okay. Like, there's this level of acceptance to just however I want to show up that day, or I am showing up, and to just accept that. And it's helped, that in turn has helped me learn how to give myself that grace. And give myself that ability to be vulnerable and give myself that ability to then help others also. So it's like not only helped me, but then in turn, now I'm serving as mentors for others. So it's like, it keeps begetting it. And I definitely would have given up on this path if I didn't have this type of community, because it is like, I needed the mirroring and the examples to start to get my base. And then from there, now I'm starting to expand, and I can then reflect back and be like, okay, do you see it the same way I am? And then it gives me different perspectives. And it's been super, super supportive in that fashion.
Yeah. And I would echo that in a lot of ways. Like, the thing about these communities and like this group in specific, there is a support, an openness, and acceptance of like showing up as you are. There's also, because we've been meeting since the beginning of the pandemic, that we've all kind of grown together, and we keep deepening and deepening and deepening. And that supports deepening more, right? And there's intimacy where we know each other really well. We can show up, you know, with messy hair and crying our eyes out or whatever it is that day, and know we're in a safe place and nobody's, you know, going to think we're too much or, you know, and we show up for each other, and people show up consistently, and it makes me feel like a certain level of acceptance and community. I mean, and it's also been cool, I think, what you were saying, Tamara, too, like this is one of my communities, and then I have all these other ones, and then they kind of, like, even doing it the way I'm doing it, it's like I'm learning something from this community and I bring it to this community. And there's some like this one I'm leading, you know? And so it's like even more comfort in leading this group than I would have had just, you know, starting off saying I'm going to lead a group. Like, the experience of being in the group helps with being able to lead a group, if that makes sense.
It's almost like it's created a practice space to practice being vulnerable, to practice being as authentic as possible, to be mad at yourself, to struggle through it. And then this way, when you go out into the world or go to your other community groups, you have a basis where it's not, you're not practicing in a place that feels unsafe.
Yeah. And a lot of times we're talking about ideas and concepts and emotions and, you know, deep inner work stuff that people who are not doing this work aren't going to understand. Yeah. Or like cannot mirror or empathize with us or hold a safe space because they haven't been there. They won't get it. And that's needed on this path. You need that kind of support. People who, even if like nobody can really get your experience because your experience is your experience alone, but there are people who can understand what it's like to be in that particular spot. You know, when your superego is attacking you, we all understand what it feels like to have our superego attack us, you know, and that is support that's needed.
Absolutely. I'm glad you said that, because I think the part about not getting that elsewhere, like other people not understanding certain aspects of the growth journey, is so important. And I think that's why the community aspect of this framework that I've been talking about is, it's so critical. You know, it's like you can do so much on your own, but then bringing it to the group, like Tamara, you talking about getting the feedback or seeing the examples, being able to show up as our authentic selves, all of that is done in community. It's done with other people. And with the support of other people, I feel like.
Yeah. The other thing about being in community and groups, and I especially find this in my Diamond Approach groups, is there is something about meeting others while doing your work that triggers, you can sometimes show up to these groups and be triggered by a certain person or whatever. And that provides you more work, right? More to like, oh, okay. Well, I saw that trigger arise when somebody said that. And then now it's given you something else to kind of look at and investigate. So it's kind of like necessary to rub up against other people. And we were talking about the pearl, but it's like that, like every place that you rub is like shining that pearl a little bit more. And so communities like this can offer that as well.
Yeah, that's beautiful. All right. Thank you guys. I appreciate you. That was really helpful. Welcome.
I thought their words were really beautiful, and I'm so glad to be in a community with them, as well as the other members of this group that weren't here that day. See, I believe that we are hardwired to be in relationship with others and to be connected to other human beings. For all of us to do and be what we're uniquely created to be in this world. And I also believe that the world functions better and that there's less loneliness when there are more of us who are connected and who are bringing our most authentic selves to the world. This is why community is part of the Authentic Life Framework. I believe it's important for everyone, regardless of their type, to find connections and relationships and communities. And we may all go about this in different ways, and we all have different strengths and struggles when it comes to our connection to community. This underscores the previous three aspects of this framework: your consciousness, clarity, and confidence. All of those things help you to know the type of community to seek out, and also to know how you will likely function inside of a group or a community. It will help you understand what to look out for. So let's get into how your personality type in the 16 type system may impact your relationship with community. Now, if you don't know your personality type, that's totally okay. This is meant as a guide for your own self-observation and self-reflection, and to notice how you might be showing up in groups. Now, keep in mind, when I say groups and I talk about community, I'm not talking about some big, huge group. Community can be as small as one or two people. It's really up to you, but it's having support and connection to others. That's what's key. So let's start with EJ types, as I usually do. They are the ENTJs, the ESTJs, the ENFJs, and the ESFJs. So all of these types lead with what we call an extroverted judging function. So they are basically very aware of what's going on in the external world and how to function in the external world, and they're more oriented towards how things should be in the outer world. EJs are also very driven to help the group, so they have more of an others focus in many ways. This really helps communities to be productive, to be connected, and to be focused on growth. But there can be some difficulties with vulnerability of sharing personal struggles. When it comes to being a group leader versus a group member, as a group leader, EJs have a natural ability and often a tendency to lead. Now, that doesn't mean that all EJs are always going to be leading groups and being in charge, but it is a skill and it does happen very often because they have a natural ability to lead. On the flip side, because they are very good at being able to lead and organize the group and get the group connected to each other, they can be controlling of the ways that things should be and the way that things should happen inside of the group. Another strength, though, as a group leader and also as a group member, is that they're pretty socially adept, typically. They can usually easily navigate the structure of a group, and I'm talking about both ETJs and EFJs here. Because they're more socially adept and they kind of know how the external world works, they typically can set up groups or communities in a way that works for everyone. As a group member, they are going to typically be supportive and encouraging and helpful to helping the group be cohesive and helping them move forward. One struggle that they may have is that some EJs may speak before going inward to check in, and they may also be very forward-leaning, and they may take up a lot of space. That doesn't mean all EJs are, but because of the way that they're wired and the way they see the external world, they have the ability to manage the conversation, and that may rub some other group members the wrong way. And they may also want to step in to manage things when it's not necessary to do so, or when it may be better to let things play out in a particular way. So let's take a look at the IPs. They are the INTPs, the ISTPs, INFPs, and ISFPs. Now, I typically always share this group second to compare and contrast with the EJs because they're pretty much the opposite of EJs in many ways. Because of that, groups in general, or the way things are done in the external world, like that's not really the natural habitat for IPs. They're very independent and autonomous, but when they have chosen to be part of a group, they really want to be there. You can be sure of that. So when it comes to being the group leader, that's not really where they're going to feel the most comfortable, and that's not generally where they're going to be. That doesn't mean they can't or they won't lead a group, because they absolutely can. And if they do create a group or lead a group, it will be highly focused on allowing for and fostering the individuality of thought or of personal identity. That depends on if they're an ITP or IFP. They'll also, as a group leader, likely have their group much less structured than the EJs. And they are likely going to want smaller groups, which will feel most comfortable for them. And this could be helpful to other people who also like to engage in smaller groups. So whereas the EJs are pretty adept at managing what's happening in the group, then there may also be some downsides to that. They may not actually need to do that at times. The IPs are really good at allowing each individual to have autonomy in the group. But the flip side of that is that they may struggle to move things forward, or they may struggle to encourage others or support the group outwardly. Whereas EJs are going to be more forward-leaning, generally speaking, and willing to speak up and share more quickly, IPs are going to probably listen more than they speak, or at least be checking in internally a lot more and spending more time in that world before they comment. They may also struggle with routines or schedules if the group is really highly structured. So as you can see, both IPs and EJs have strengths and they have struggles, and neither style is better or worse. They are just different, and different groups require different ways of going about things. Moving on to the IJs. So these are the INTJs, INFJs, ISTJs, and ISFJs. Now the IJs will be less structured than the EJs, but more willing, or more interested would probably be a better way of saying it, more interested in gathering people together than the IPs that we just talked about. As a group leader, the IJs will have some of the same abilities as EJs of organizing the groups and making the group valuable to all members of the group or helping the group vibe, but they're not going to be the ones who jump forward to do this as much as the EJs. And they might actually need a little bit of encouragement to do so. They may get more quickly overwhelmed with things in the group, and definitely more easily overwhelmed than the EJs. As a group member, the IJs are going to have a quiet insightfulness. They are introverts after all, right? But they're going to be gathering information in the background a lot of the time. And when they are willing to share, it will benefit the whole community. And they may be a little more resistant to changing what they themselves are comfortable with in the group than an EJ. But as a member, they're definitely the quiet, supportive type in the group. That doesn't mean they don't speak up, because they do, but if we're comparing the different groups, they would be quieter than the EJs for sure. Lastly, let's look at the EP types. These are the ENTPs, ENFPs, ESTPs, and ESFPs. Now, these types have some of the same independence of the IPs, and also combined with some of the group orientation of the EJs. But you're going to see they have their own distinct characteristics, because they're not the same. As a group leader, they're going to have great adaptability. That'll be a key feature of their leadership. And they will likely create a flexible structure within the group if they have a structure, and they'll be very willing to support individual differences while also having an interest in the group cohesion to a degree. They might change up things a lot because they get bored, but this can also bring in new, fresh ideas, which can help keep things fresh in the group. As a group member, and maybe even as a group leader, they may struggle to commit because they like things a lot more open than any of the other groups that I've already talked about. So you can see they have both strengths and struggles as both a group leader and a group member. So we've talked about what community is, why it's so important, some of the difficulties around it. You've heard from some people talking about the importance of community. And you've also heard about each of the types in the 16-type system and the relationship with community and being the group leader versus a group member. So now you might be thinking, that's great, Leslie, but I know I want to connect with a community. I recognize the importance of community on my growth journey, but where do I find community? Well, the first thing I would say is to keep your eyes open and give it time. And in the meantime, develop relationships with individuals who are doing important growth work. And in that process of getting to know that other person, you will be developing your own community. But there are also existing groups out there. You can look at your local meetups. Here in the US, we have the Meetup app. There are also spiritual communities that you can connect with. Get creative and try to consider, who are the type of people that I would like to be around that I can receive encouragement and support and feedback from, but also where I can give part of myself to that community. Start with that one friend that I mentioned. Look for one person, set up a regular meeting time, and if you don't know what to talk about, you can choose a book and use that as the basis of your conversations and let it arise and develop from that process. So if you don't know your personality type, I hope that you can see how impactful the knowledge of your personality type is. And we've been talking about some general patterns of EJs and IPs and IJs and EPs. But if you narrow into your specific type in this system, the growth path is almost laid out for you in a lot of ways. And that's what I help people do. I want to help you clarify your personality type, either in the 16 types personality system or the Enneagram. And the way that I do that is that I offer a package that is a really, really effective way to help you get started on finding your correct type and then using that knowledge to self-reflect and self-observe and to put to use the authentic life framework that we've been going through. Now, this package has two parts, and we meet together over two sessions, a total of 3 hours, so that we can really dig into what your underlying wiring is or motivation for things in life, and then how to apply it and how it's showing up in your life right now. So I'm talking about the level one packages for both systems, and you can apply by going to hellopersonality.com/16types. Or if you're interested more in the Enneagram, you can go to hellopersonality.com/Enneagram. And on both of those pages, you'll see a button to apply for a level one package. Okay, so that's it for now. I will see you again in the next episode, which is episode 6, and we'll take a look at the 5th and final aspect of the Authentic Life Framework. I'll see you then. Take care.